guilty on three counts. Derek Chauvin, the jury has come back with guilty verdicts, unintentional murder in the second degree while committing a felony, third degree murder pertaining an imminent dangerous act, and second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence creating an unnecessary risk. So Derek Chauvin is likely going to go to jail for a while. We'll find that out when the sentencing comes up in a couple of weeks. We are pleased to be joined now by someone who's been a good person to lean on in the last couple of weeks and looking at what's going on in this trial. Adam Reuther, partner Rosenberg, Martin, and Greenberg, and a former assistant city state's attorney. Great to have
you on.
Always appreciate your time and your insights. So, guilty verdict come down yesterday. Jury did not have the case for long. I think, they got it Monday. They were ready to go Tuesday afternoon. And your big picture view, did the prosecution do a good job, defense do a poor job, or was just the evidence overwhelming here?
Well, I think we can certainly say that the state did a good job of presenting its evidence and really stacked up something that is as close to an overwhelming case as you can really make when you've got beyond a reasonable doubt to deal with. And that is evidenced by the fact that the jury was not out very long. I think the real challenge that the defense had was approaching a case like this, where you have the amount of evidence that the state was presenting, picking your battles. They tried to attack. The causation side. Did Officer Chauvin's knee actually cause George Floyd's death? And they really kind of stuck with that theme. And the problem there was just so much evidence that but for Officer Chauvin's knee on George Floyd's neck, George Floyd would probably still be alive. And if they lost that point, then they were probably going to end up with a guilty verdict on one of the charges. And then the only real question was for the jury, what level of culpability did they see for Derek Chauvin? And the answer was crystal clear to the jury, apparently with no questions. They answered guilty on all three charges. So I think the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. When you've got a conviction that fast with no questions, I don't think that this was a very difficult decision for this jury to make.
We're speaking with attorney Adam Reuther. As Brian Neiman said, on one part of his life, he was on the other side of the table as a prosecutor with Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office. Now he's a partner in Rosenberg, Martin, and Greenberg. And I know this attorney Reuther from my days in Annapolis when I was on the Governor's Sentencing Commission, but I think people need to understand, just because they hear 40 years, 25 years, you know, all these years, there are sentencing guidelines that judges have to go by with certain convictions. And Minnesota's guidelines, from what we understand, for a first-time offender, there's no way that former Officer Chauvin is going to get all these years, attorney.
So you're absolutely right, C4, that Minnesota's sentencing guidelines are just like Maryland's sentencing guidelines in that they are just that, guidelines. They're not mandatory. It is not the same thing as having what you often hear referred to as mandatory minimum sentences or a mandatory guideline range. So it is still and should always be, in the opinion of most lawyers, the judge's decision as to what the actual sentence is. The guidelines are there to show the judge, you know, presumptively, this is what a reasonable sentence looks like under these circumstances. But they're just statistical tools. So it is up to Judge Cahill to decide what this individual case warrants in terms of a sentence. And the only thing that Judge Cahill is really bound by are the maximum sentences here. And the maximum sentence that Derek Chauvin is looking at is the 40 years for the top count of the felony murder.
We're talking about the video versus the police. What aspect of it was really vital here for the prosecution's case?
Sure. And so sorry for dropping out on you guys. Technology is great when it works.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any doubt that this case would have been substantially different if it weren't for that video. I mean, it was such a compelling piece of evidence. It allowed the jury to really sit there as if they were on the street watching this unfold and make their own determinations as to what level of culpability Officer Chauvin really exhibited here, that depraved heart mind, particularly as far as that count is concerned, was something that the jury was able to really decide on its own. Just imagine for a second trying a case like this without that evidence, where it would have just been about here, and most likely Officer Chauvin in that case probably would have testified to talk about what he perceived and what he saw happening. But here, because of that video evidence, the jury got to see it for themselves. So there is no doubt that that video is probably the most compelling piece of evidence in the case.
Attorney Adam Reuther, there are three more officers who, former officers, because they were fired as well as former Officer Chauvin, who are facing trials coming up. Their hearing is scheduled. I understand one of the first hearings, May 20th. They are facing aiding and abetting the second-degree murder and manslaughter, but there's going to be an attempt, we understand from the prosecutors, to have them aiding and abetting the third-degree murder charge. Just your thoughts on the whole aiding and abetting part of this for the other officers.
Sure. So aiding and abetting is just a fancy way of saying helping. If in a hypothetical example, if you, C4, are my friend and I drive you to go commit a bank robbery, and when you come out, I act as your getaway driver, even though I never went into the bank with you, I helped you, and therefore the law says that you are an aider and abetter and therefore just as culpable as the primary actor, the principal, for that criminal conduct. And here they're using that theory to say that the other officers who were around Derek Chauvin, who were keeping other people away from him while he had his neck on George, or his knee on George Floyd's neck, who were helping him to commit his crime, should be just as responsible, at least as far as the third degree depraved heart murder was concerned. It's a very common tactic in charging more than just the principal actor in a crime. And it's a powerful public policy tool to say it's not enough to say, well, I didn't do it, if anything that you did actually contributed toward a crime like this.
I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but I did see this when Governor Hogan vetoed the police reform bill. And he said that he's completely in favor of the body-worn cameras, but the one portion of that law that he wanted to get rid of was because the Maryland law, the new law, actually takes away the Supreme Court decision Graham versus O'Connor, which was used in this particular case for Chauvin, which shows the standard that police officers have to use when it comes to force, and it has to be objectively reasonable. Now, according to Governor Hogan, he says the bill gets away from that, and that it is now an undefined test of judging whether the force was proportional. And he says this standard would expose officers' actions to speculation, and that the Supreme Court rejected that, and that this is going to actually cause more confusion and actually may help officers, I guess, in some ways, when it comes to these incidents. I don't know if you spent a whole lot of time on Graham versus O'Connor. I just wanted to get your take on it, because it does seem to be something that's boiling up right now when we're talking about the Maryland reform bill.
It's boiling up everywhere. The hot button issue of how police officers do their jobs has never been more front and center than it is at this moment. And it's been dealt with before. It has sort of come up time and time again as more press attention has been focused on cases like this. But it's really reaching a boiling point now. And there's a difficult balance here, right? Because there's no doubt that police officers have a dangerous and difficult job. As a supervisor of mine back in my time as a prosecutor in Montgomery County used to tell us in the district court, it's important to remember when you're arguing about use of force to a jury that you remind them that police officers get in fights all the time, but they're not allowed to lose a fight. But there also have to be limits. You can't have a law that gives so much deference to police officers that it condones, even implicitly, the kind of use of force that we saw in this case. So finding that balance between giving a certain amount of deference to the difficult decisions that police officers have to make on a day-to-day basis and still making sure that they're held accountable when they go beyond those bounds, and finding where to draw that line, is probably the hardest public policy decision that lawmakers and judges and prosecutors are facing right now. And there are no easy answers, unfortunately, but there is no doubt that the public will not stand for any more George Floyds.
He's a partner with Rosenberg, Martin, and Greenberg, Attorney Adam Reuther. We've been able to lean on him these last few weeks throughout this internationally, as Brian was saying earlier in the show, followed trial of Derek Chauvin. Thank you so much, Attorney Reuther.
It's always great to have you on.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.